Heavenly Father, gracious Lord, Holy Spirit, we welcome you here and acknowledge your mighty power throughout all the earth. Our incredible God, we thank you for everything that you bring into our lives and for your support, care, and comfort. Bless us all today as we worship you, pray to you, and hear your word. May we have wisdom and understanding, discernment and compassion for our brothers and sisters in Christ, our Saviour. Amen. Can we join together as we say the psalm, which is Psalm 67, verse 1 to 7. Have we got it on the screen? Here we go. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you. God, may all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you. God, may all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. Amen.
Good morning. And the reading is taken from John chapter 10, verses 1 to 21. And it's headed, "The Good Shepherd and His Sheep." "Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will go in and come out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Amen. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Well, it's a privilege to come and speak to you again today. And I just want us all to be sitting here with our ears and eyes open to hear what God has got to say to you. He's going to speak to each one of us this morning. I feel that in my knower. So just be ready. I'm not sure if you remember from last time, I'm taking us through the I am sayings of Jesus in John's Gospel. And just to recap, there are 7 or 8. I asked the early morning congregation to name them this morning, but I won't ask you to name the I am sayings. I'll tell you them. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. That's 7. The 8th I am statement is found in John 8:58, and probably the most profound. I'll read it. "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." At this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself and slipped away from the temple grounds. That was a direct quote from Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, when God spoke to Moses. And that was through the burning bush, if you remember. "I am who I am. This is what you say to the Israelites. I am has sent you." So we must remember then that this phrase, "I am," Jesus was saying he was God. I am. That he and the Father are one. Well, it's no wonder that this rattled the religious leaders of the day. And how much do we need shaking up? Do we need shaking up? Do we need to re-evaluate our walk with the Saviour? Just think about that. How are we doing? Are we good? When did we last speak to him? When did we last read his word? When did we last witness? That's even more difficult, isn't it? When did we last witness? You may think, well, you come to church, you walk down the road, that's my witness to the outside world, I'm coming to church. But, you know, there is a command, isn't there, at the end of Matthew. Go and be my disciples. That's probably much more than being a witness, isn't it? We have to follow him. Well, there are 2 I ams in our reading today. I am the door. Or some say the gate. Well, do your friends or relatives challenge you about your faith in Jesus? Or maybe your belief in the Bible? As you probably know, that I give away scriptures in all kinds of places, and when I go out on the street and give away a New Testament, I suppose I probably get 6 refusals to one acceptance. And you should see the look on people's faces when you offer them a copy of God's word. And, oh, no, no. That saddens me, because they're rejecting. They're rejecting God. You know, do you actually believe in that book, they might say. And so if I say Jesus is the door, they will probably say, well, does he have hinges? You know, it's as bad as that sometimes when we have to witness. Well, what does I am the door mean? Woven through scripture, many men of God worked both as shepherds and leaders of people. Political and religious leaders were often referred to as shepherds. In fact, many Old Testament leaders served as shepherds on the hills of Israel and Judah. Jacob, Moses, King David, for flocks belonging to God's people. Well, biblical history recounts God shepherding his people through his leaders. David fulfilled the prophecy to become the shepherd line through which the Messiah, the good shepherd, would one day be king. Jesus' statement, I am the door, reflected Eastern customs of towns gathering flocks into one common sheepfold. The shepherds either took turn to guard or were designated as gatekeepers. They stayed with the sheep throughout the night, protecting the fold from predators and robbers. A gatekeeper served as a type of doorway to the sheep, often lying across the narrow entrance to the sheepfold. He was there to protect the sheep. Jesus is not only the door for the sheep, but our shepherd who guides and leads us. In doing so, he is vividly contrasting himself with the leaders of the day, whom he describes, how did he describe them? Thieves and robbers. Thieves and robbers, verse 8 of our reading. He is reiterating the fact that only through him is salvation possible. Jesus makes it clear that if any religious leader who offers salvation other than through the teachings of Christ is a thief and a robber. That makes us think about our cultural situation at the moment, doesn't it? There is only one way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Well, if we stand firm and keep the faith, as it says in 1 Peter 5, verse 4, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Well, Jesus opened heaven's door for us by his death upon the cross, paying the ultimate price for our salvation. He is the entry place for all of mankind to receive his forgiveness and to enjoy his love. Every house and building has at least one entrance. Every nation has an entry point. The kingdom of God also has an entrance. Only one, and it's Jesus Christ. He proclaims in verse 9, I am the door or the gate. If anyone enters by me, will be saved. I think that's really comforting, isn't it? That if we enter through the door, if we have a firm relationship with Jesus, he lets us in. He's there by the door, ready to open it. Well, are you listening this morning to the Master's voice, Jesus? God formed our hearts, and he wants to dwell there. He wants to live there. But many have locked theirs up, ignoring the Saviour who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When the crew of Apollo 13 returned to the Earth's atmosphere in 1971, after a journey of nearly 300 hours and almost 500,000 miles, they had to re-enter the Earth's atmosphere through a corridor less than 40 miles wide. That was a narrow door. If they miscalculated and missed a door, it would have been disastrous. And this illustrates what Jesus said. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. If Apollo 15 had missed that narrow corridor, they would have gone to destruction. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I was reading Nicky Gumbel's notes, and he says in his Bible notes, if you're reading through that in a year, he says that becoming a Christian, he thought, would mean the end of his enjoyment in life. In fact, he says, he found the opposite. Jesus says in verse 10, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. That's the promise. We can have life to the full. Or as the Amplified Version puts it, he came that we may enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. That's the kind of life that Jesus wants for us. I have found that having a relationship with Jesus, you find meaning, you find purpose, you find fulfillment, peace, forgiveness, and of course, life in all its fullness. Jesus is the good shepherd. We use the word good in several different ways, don't we? Sometimes we speak of something being good in a moral sense, but other times we speak about something being good in quality. For example, when we speak of a good athlete or a good teacher, we don't necessarily mean they're morally good, but that they excel at what they do. The athlete excels at their sport, the teacher is good at teaching. That's the way the word is used here. It's a word that means good in quality. It can also mean beautiful or handsome or excellent. So when Jesus calls himself the good shepherd, he means that he is the most excellent shepherd. He is the most preeminent shepherd. He is what shepherding is all about. He knows how to do the job. He is the best. Jesus lays down his life for the sheep. For the hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolves coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. The wolves attack, the flock scatters. The man runs away because he's hard hand and cares nothing for the sheep. But let's see this clip, video, picture that I've discovered recently. And you can see our good shepherd. That's Jesus. Yeah. That's amazing. That Jesus, there, he's cradling the sheep and protecting, and I think with his life. He's protecting you with his life. He's protected you with his life. He gave his life. He didn't give it, he laid it down. Jesus is the good shepherd because he lays his life down for the sheep. And Jesus died for us so that we could have eternal life. Jesus knows his sheep. When I read that, I thought, well, does he really know me? How well does he know you? You know, have you got a best friend? Well, I've got one. It's Margaret. But she knows me intimately. Well, almost. She knows everything about me. But Jesus knows more than that. He knows my thoughts. He knows my desires. He knows all the bad stuff as well. That's who Jesus is, and that's who you can be in relationship with, if you're not already. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them in also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. I think that's a reference to the disciples going out to the rest of the world for the other sheep. That's you and me. So he knows us intimately. Jesus knows who truly trust him for their salvation. You know, do you trust him? Is he your Lord and Master? Do you know Jesus? To know someone speaks of personal knowledge and love. Jesus conquered death for the sheep. The reason, it says in verse 17 to 18, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. Now this is a remarkable statement. We are told here why God the Father loves the Son. First of all, we know from other scriptures that God the Father loved the Son before the creation of the world. Secondly, we also know that Jesus was chosen to die for us before the creation of the world. 1 Peter 1:20. The book of Revelation calls Jesus the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. Revelation 13:8. And then thirdly, we also know from Scripture that we were chosen in Christ before the creation of the world. Ephesians 1:4. Titus 1:2 tells us that God promised salvation before the beginning of time. Well, I find that all mind-boggling, don't you, really? It's about space travel, isn't it? I mean, when you think of the Apollo, all that stuff they had to take into account. But Jesus is beyond all that. He's with God, and he knew us before we were born. Jesus said concerning his life, and listen to this, I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. That was verse 18 in our reading. I have authority to lay it down and to take it up again. This is a clear statement of the divinity of Jesus Christ. Only God has the authority to take life, and only God has the power to restore it. That's who Jesus is. That's who we have our relationship with. Isn't that mind-blowing? That we can have that relationship with the Creator. Well, if I may draw to a close, every one of us has a shepherd. Do we hear the voice of the Good Shepherd? For some of us, we seek guidance from another person, or others choose to run their own lives. Who is your shepherd today? What kind of care does your shepherd provide for you? Does he lead you in green pastures beside the still waters? Does he restore your soul? Does he guide you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake? You see, only Jesus can care for your life. He is the good shepherd. He is the one who lays down his life for the sheep. He is the one who knows his sheep in a close personal relationship. He knows your name. He is the one who has conquered sin and death. He is the good shepherd. And there is no other. Will you commit your lives to him today? For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear. Revelation 7:17. I'm so glad I found Jesus all those years ago. I never thought I would be standing here all those years ago speaking, because that wasn't my thing. I would never do that. I would run away from it. But Jesus can change our lives radically. He can change your life radically. No matter how young you are or how old you are, there's still more to come. That's the comfort that I have. There is still more to come. So, shall I pray? And if you want more to come in your life, stand up and receive God's Holy Spirit to come. Father, we thank you that you are the Good Shepherd, that you know each one of us intimately. You know our thoughts even before we think them. So we ask you to come, Holy Spirit, empower us today for this coming week, whatever that will reveal to us. We want to know you, Jesus. We want to get closer to you. Enhance our lives with you. Draw us closer to you day by day. And Father, when we return next week, may we have testimonies to tell. May we be able to be excited because you have been involved in every step of the way. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing and for what you're going to do. In his name we pray. Amen.